Well, somebody say praise the Lord. How many's glad you made it tonight? Praise God. We've come from various places on the map and various distances, but we're here tonight to receive of Him. Would you shout amen? To draw strength from Him and go out from here and in this last hour show forth the power, the manifestation of Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Would somebody say, help us, Lord? Oh, say it again. Shout, help us, Lord. Ooh, hallelujah. 15 years. That's a long time. A lot of things have happened in 15 years. Both of my girls have grown up in this camp and have married boys, young men, full of the Holy Ghost, amen, God answered my prayer. I remember when those girls were just small. We were pastoring in Picton, Texas, and I remember going to the church at Harmony Assembly of God to pray on that front pew, and I said, Lord, help my girls. Send them godly men, Lord. Send them. Unite them together. And I can tell you, God's done exactly that. Would somebody shout amen? And so a lot has happened in 15 years. Oh, yes. And then along came my little brave I had prayed for, my little boy, come along the way. Now he's in youth camp. But all the way through kids camp, he's at youth camp. And I can tell you, I'm proud of him and what this camp has meant to him. Some years ago in one of the camps here, Kyron had prayed, was seeking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's just a little boy. And he walked out from here, and I was with him holding his hand. I know it wasn't here, it was over there. I'm sorry, Brother Sister Torbett, he was in kids' camp. But anyway, we were walking out across the campus there. I said, son, the Lord do something for you tonight. He said, oh, Daddy, he just real little. Oh, Daddy said, I felt something tonight. I said, you did? Yeah. I said, what'd you feel? He said, I don't know. He said, it was just like firecrackers going off inside of me. Woo, come on, somebody. I said, well, son, that's the Holy Ghost. Would somebody shout amen? That's the power of the Lord. And the words of that little boy, he described what was going on in the side of his spirit. Would somebody shout, thank God, oh, and great things the Lord has done. Would you shout amen? Oh, great things the Lord has done. Messages that the Lord has given me down through the years to preach here. And I thank God that he has delivered them to my heart to deliver to this camp. And I can tell you, God has given me some messages that just been wonderful to be able to preach and preach to you. Such as the one Pastor mentioned a while ago. I never shall forget that night. And that platform down at Lumberton was just solid, looked like marble floor. And I'm telling you, the devil didn't have nothing on us that night. Come on, somebody. I said, these young people were shouting and dancing in the Holy Ghost all over that platform. I grabbed some men, or it was either me or Brother Gooden, but somebody grabbed men and stationed them all around that platform, because we were thinking, now one of them will come flying off there in a minute, and we need somebody there to catch them. Come on, somebody. Woo, hallelujah. But there, nobody ever come off the platform. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Well, I guess that's all in the spirit. Come on, somebody. I say that because recently I had a non-Pentecostal say, well, it's just emotion and hype. Well, it wasn't no emotion hype that night. I'm telling you, it was God. Come on, somebody. I'll never forget Brother Blake a-shouting and a-dancing, and all I could see was legs and arms going every direction. And I believe it's him fell out there on that marble floor. Ain't ne'er a soul ever stepped on him. They just danced around him, kept on shouting. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is real. Would you shout amen? This thing is real. It's not a religion. It is a reality. Would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Hallelujah. For what he has done. throughout the years. I'll never forget preaching down at Lumberton, one of the early camps, and the power of God came in the house. There was a young man there, I believe it was a Hispanic young man. The power of God, I think it was from Brother Barley's church, but I never seen nobody do this. You know, growing up in Pentecost, I've seen folks roll in the floor under the power. That's what we got the name Holy Rollers. Come on, somebody. But I'll never forget that young man, slim, young Hispanic man, a teenager he was at the time. I'll never forget the power of God hit him. The Holy Ghost filled him. And you'd think, you know, rolling down the stairs, that's one thing. But he rolled up the stairs and on the platform. Come on, somebody. Speaking in tongues, full of the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout hallelujah. Woo! Blessed be the Lord. God Almighty, I'm telling you, great things have happened in this camp. Too many for me to recount, but I'm thankful I've been a part of each and every one of them. Such is the case with some funny things. I can tell you, going through 15 years, there's been some funny things happen and that I've seen. And I'll never forget, I was early camps back then. I don't know if they still do. I don't see any. But back then, they wore what they called their holiness poof. The girls did, you know, just up here, sprayed it real good. Well, I used to be accused of smashing the ladies and the girls' poofs. They said he just smashes it. But I didn't do that on purpose. Come on. The Lord was a check in your pride. Come on, somebody. Woo! But I used to get excited and I'd go praying for the young men, young ladies is going down through there, and all of a sudden I had this ring, my wedding ring on. And I gained a little weight. And my wedding ring was too tight. And so I was at a family gathering. And my younger brother said, well, Dad's got some bolt cutters out there. I said, we can cut that thing. I said, all right. So we got bolt cutters and snapped that wedding ring because it's so tight on my finger, I couldn't get it off. And so, but I didn't have another ring, so I just kept wearing that one. It was cut. And so I'm praying, going down through the line, praying, boy, and the Holy Ghost is moving. I laid my hand on a young lady. She's probably a woman tonight. She maybe, I don't know. But I laid my hand on her, poof, and I prayed, oh, God. Well, I mean, I was speaking in tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost, and I lifted my hand back, and when I did, something hung, and I looked, and her hair was sticking straight up about that high, and it was hung on my ring. And I said, oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Keep praying. Keep praying. And I worked it loose out of that ring, you know. And once I worked it loose, I looked, and when I did, her hair was still sticking up, just straight up. I said, ooh, thank you, Lord. Went on down the line. Come on, somebody. Oh, my, I'm telling you right now. Hey, oh, thank God for Truth Camp. Would you shout amen? I don't remember who it was. Some young preacher sitting on the front row, and I'll think of who it was after church, but I was going down through there praying. Might have been Brother Matt Cherry. He was down at Lumberton. I was not praying, I was preaching. Boy, I was coming on with it. And I was slapping high fives or whatever. And when my hand went down, I missed or something. My hand went down and caught Brother Cherry's pocket. And I was, and you know, in the spirit, and I was a worshiping God. And it caught his pocket and crack. And I felt it when his pocket ripped. I said, oh, Lord. I just kept on preaching. After church, I told him, I said, Brother Matt, I'm sorry. He said, man, this is my brand new shirt. Come on. Woo. But, oh, I thank God for Truth Camp. Somebody shout amen. Oh, we would do a great, and I know we got things in the morning, do a great injustice tonight to recognize our camp director and his wife and family, to the pastor, a wonderful church growing and moving. And I highly admire our pastor, Brother Donnie Goodwin, his wife, Sister Goodwin, Sister Lori, their family that's growing now. That's changed in 15 years, amen. But we honor these folks. We honor our camp director, /founder for a vision. Come on, somebody, of the Lord. Look around you tonight. One time this was nothing more than a vision in the heart of a man of God. Come on, somebody, in the heart of a woman of God. But oh, when God gives you a vision, he'll give you the empowerment. Would you shout amen? And he'll bring it to pass. Would you let Pastor Goodwin and all of his family, would y'all stand tonight and let us honor you? Blessed be God. Let them know it. That's right. Amen. Give honor where honor is due. And we honor them tonight. 15 years. Woo. Lot of work. Lot of work. Amen. By this man of God and his family. And we're thankful for them. We're thankful for them so, so very, very much. A lot of other things have happened in this camp. I went from having 3 children. I thought that's all I'd have. And lo and behold, I gained number 4. 1 little, 2 little, 3 little Indians plus 1 more makes 4. And so it's something else when you're the age, middle age, and getting older. And you see 50, half 100, right around the corner. And you got a little baby girl that's 2 years old. Woo, that'll try you. Come on, somebody. I feel sorry for Abraham. Come on, somebody. But oh, yes, 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 thankful for little Chloe tonight. And again, I'm thankful for Truth Camp and all that the Lord has done and all that he has done for us in this camp. I want you to take your Bibles tonight, and I want you to open them with me to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 7. And if you would stand for the reading of our Father's Word. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel, chapter 7, and verse number 12. Then Samuel took a stone, a rock, and set it between Mizpah and Shin, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto has the Lord helped us." Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the reading of divine scripture. Thank you, Lord, for these young people, these pastors, Lord, and youth ministers, we thank you for them tonight. We thank you for bringing us all here safely tonight. God, you have given us safe travel, and you have kept your hand upon us. I pray that you'd help me, Holy Ghost, inspire my thoughts and quicken my speech. Reach way down the ebbs of the well of my human spirit, wherein you have deposited years of study that has produced insight and revelation of you and my knowledge of you and of your word. Bring it back to my memory. Help me to declare it with your anointing of power. And God, let your people, these young people, receive of your word tonight. Let it transform us and advance us to that great day of the Lord's coming. And Lord, may we, God, overcome every power of Lucifer in Jesus' name. And tear down his kingdom. And Lord, in that you're going to be exalted, you're going to be glorified, magnified, and because of it, Lucifer, that old dragon, that old serpent, all of his imps are going to be terrified because of it. We declare it to be so, even on this night, in Jesus' name. Everybody shout amen. Oh, shout hallelujah. And the word of God says, one verse of scripture to launch into this subject from the mind of God for us tonight. 15 years. A lot of things, as I've already repeated, has happened in 15 years. 7 years ago, I was scheduled to preach at this time, the fall youth retreat. And it was during that time, some of you heard our testimony. Some have not. I don't have time to tell the whole thing, but I wanted to mention this part. 7 years ago, a great hurricane hit down toward Louisiana. And 7 years ago, a great storm, a hurricane, hit my life, that of my family. And in that, I had already been scheduled to preach the Fall Truth Retreat. And the Lord had given me a verse of scripture that said, "Rejoice not, O mine enemy, when I have fallen. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, he shall be a light around me." Somebody shout hallelujah. I said, "Lord, there's the Fall Retreat message." But by the time fall came, I was in one of the greatest storms of my life, me and my family. As a pastor, as a minister, as a person, I walked through the deepest, darkest valley of depression that I'd ever known. I'd never been depressed, didn't know what it was. But for 8 long months of great storm and trial, I walked through the valley of the shadow of death. As it turned out, that fall youth retreat would be canceled because of the hurricane. And it was good that it was so. Why do you say that? Because I was thinking, how am I going to tell Brother Goodwin that I don't feel good? I don't feel like preaching. I didn't know what was wrong with me. My family didn't know what was wrong with me. Nobody knew. I didn't want to go out of the house. I had quit preaching at home, and somebody else was having to preach for me. And I didn't want to talk to nobody on the phone, and struggling with suicidal thoughts. And oh, Lord, oh my, I don't wish that on anybody. Come on, walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but it was this camp that began to lift up the prayer, amen, to God for me and my family. It was this camp who stood with us, amen. Many of you called and talked to Sister Tom, and some of you of whom I wanted to talk to because I didn't want to talk to very many people, talked to me to encourage me. I can tell you, God is faithful. Would you shout amen? I found out the reason I got that verse of scripture was because God already knew that by the time this time would roll around, I would be in the great valley of the shadow of death called depression. Come on, and fighting devils, and folks are praying for me. Come on, somebody. Woo! And God had already given me a word before I ever went in the storm. He said, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, Micah chapter 7, for when I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light around me." Come on, somebody. Woo. This camp lifted us up before the Lord. But I said all that to say this. Because of that, I was thinking, driving down here, I was thinking, look here, ooh, blessed be God, 7 years ago, I didn't make it, I couldn't make it, I was walking through a valley of death, shadow of death, and it is indeed, I didn't say this, but it is indeed an honor and a great privilege of mine to have been asked by the camp board and you as pastors and youth pastors and youth being here tonight. It's a privilege to stand here on this platform tonight and preach this word of God to you. Come on, somebody. But I can tell you right now, I feel like Samuel. Amen. Oh, Brother Samuel, at the beginning of his ministry here, Brother Samuel, he took a stone. He took a rock. Now, I'm sure it's bigger than this. There's only one Kyron could find for me outside. I said, "Go find me one." Amen. But he took a rock. He took a rock and he set it up. And when he set it up, he declared unto them, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Come on, somebody. Can I say it tonight? 15 years later, Pastor Barley, "Hitherto has the Lord helped us." I'm going to say it again. "Hitherto has the Lord helped us." Somebody shout amen. Look at here, devil. Look at here, you spirits of darkness. By the grace of God, we stand covered in the blood. And we're going to shout it tonight. And we're going to shout it tomorrow. And we're going to shout it going out of here tonight and going to our beds. We're going to shout it. "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Somebody give Jesus a hand clap of praise. He's the one that makes it happen. Woo. Oh, blessed be God, blessed be God. What a story. The beginning of the ministry of Samuel. We have just come out of the book of Judges. Various judges have judged in Israel. Israel has gone through cycle after cycle after cycle with great judges, most of them great. At least they all done great things. We know the story of Samson, but Samson had a comeback. Somebody, oh, y'all didn't hear me. I said, we know the story of Samson, but thank God for the grace of God, Samson had a comeback. Would somebody shout hallelujah? We've just come through the book of Judges before our reading tonight. And now, after a horrible, horrific tragedy has smitten Israel, Eli, Pastor Eli, the high priest in Israel, with his sons, have caused perversion in Israel. Come on, Eli, that priest was afraid to stand up and preach the truth. Come on, he was afraid to pastor Israel. He was afraid to declare that you're not to serve any other God but our God, Jehovah. Come on, he failed to preach it. He failed to teach it. He failed to lead Israel in it. You can see it played out in his sons. While he was such that he wouldn't even reprimand his own boys for what they were doing, their ungodly and wicked deeds with the women of Israel right in the sight of God's house, his own sons, and stealing from God out of the offering pots. Come on, somebody, in the sacrifices. And Eli knew it, but Eli wouldn't say nothing because he's afraid folks wouldn't like him. He's afraid folks would quit following him. He's afraid folks would quit his church. Woo! He's afraid folks would want another pastor. Amen. Woo! Numbers of other things. And so he failed. He failed. I said he failed. And oh, Eli. Why, Eli? Sitting in the tabernacle. Eli said it in the tabernacle, the same place he said when Hannah come to pray for a son. And he told Hannah, the Lord has heard your cry, go home. You're going to have a baby. Come on, somebody. Woo. But in that same seat of the Lord of which he said, there came a time when the Philistines came to do war against Israel. Eli had backslid away from God. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm telling you right now, it's a terrible time when you backslide on God and the devil comes against you. Woo, come on, somebody. You don't have no covering. You don't have anybody to shield you. You don't have anybody to fight your battle. Come on, somebody. And here they come. Eli, judgments are coming. Eli was sitting on that Lord's seat in that tabernacle. And the Philistines went out to war with Israel. And Israel went out to war with their army. Eli's sons went as well into the battle. And as the battle raged hot, Israel was overcome by the Philistines. Come on, somebody. And then at the very same time the Philistines conquered Israel, they ran and took the Ark of the Covenant. They took the Ark of God from amidst Israel's army. Come on, somebody. Just a short little while before, the enemy tucked the Ark of God, which was a symbol of the power and the glory of God. Shortly before they took it, Israel was shouting and praising and dancing. Come on, somebody. Oh, we'll get to that in a minute maybe. But the story progresses and said when the Philistines tucked the Ark of the Covenant at the very same time, at the very moment of time that the Ark was being carried away by the hands of the army of the Philistines, it was that Eli's daughter-in-law, was in her abode. News came from the battlefield. Runners came in and they said that we can tell you right now, we've been whooped. We've been defeated. We don't know where God is. He wasn't with us today. Oh my. And they said, we lost the Ark of the Covenant. And Eli, your sons have died in battle. Oh, come on. And Eli's daughter-in-law, when she heard of that, she entered into birth pains, for she was expecting a child of one of Eli's sons. And when Eli, that old man, that old judge, that priest, set it on that seat of the Lord, when he heard that the ark of God was taken, he fell off of that seat of the Lord and I guess broke his neck. Anyway, he died, might have died of a heart attack before he hit the floor. Come on, I can tell you to cause you to have a heart attack when the devil comes against you and you realize you've backslidden on God and he's not with you. Somebody shout amen. Woo! That's when old Saul took a sword and fell on it and killed himself, because the enemy was coming in. He realized, I don't have no power. I don't have no anointing. I've lost the power. I've lost the anointing. Oh, come on, somebody. Eli fell, died in the tabernacle, died at the gate, sitting there. His daughter-in-law began to wail in pains of birth. Directly that little boy came into this earth. The handmaid said, you got a baby boy. And she was gasping for breath and had a death rattle. She just gave birth to him. And they said, what shall we call him? What shall his name be? And that lady, that mama said, name him Ichabod, for the glory of the Lord has departed from Israel. Woo! Come on, what significance? At the same, when the ark had just exited in the hands of the Philistines, the glory of God was declared departed by a dying woman giving birth, and he gave him a child called Ichabod, which means the glory has departed. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, my. In the midst of it all, they're trying to celebrate his birth and trying to find some type of healing for the loss and the defeat and the embarrassment of the loss of God's glory. And somebody said, what's his name? Then they said, she said to call him Ichabod. Well, immediately they knew what it meant. And they'd hear it, Ichabod, the glory has departed. Come on, somebody. And all of a sudden they begin, my interpretation, they begin to shy away from that little boy. The glory, they didn't want to reckon with it, that the glory had departed. We go through a time when Israel lost the Ark of the Covenant. The Philistines take it. They take it into their camps. They take it into their country. And all of a sudden, that Ark that represented the blessing of God to Israel, in which they no longer could get the blessing, even though they brought it into their very midst because of their sinfulness. God refused to bless them. No matter if they had the Ark of God there or not, God said, I won't bless you. You've departed from me. But that same box that represented the glory of God and his holiness and power, when the Philistines carried it into their midst, it became a curse to them. Come on, somebody. I said it became a curse to them. Such a curse that they said, we got to get rid of this box. We got to get rid of this. They started sending it down the road to the next town, into the next town, into the next town in Philistine. And when they set it up first, when they first got it set in the God, in the temple of the God Dagon, that half fish, half man God, they set it up there, and Dagon fell over during the night because the glory was so great. Woo! Dagon even fell on the floor on his face. Come on, somebody. And they came in, the priest of Dagon came in and said, what's going on here? And they set him back up and said, we got the ark of the Israelis' God. We got their God in here, and we've conquered them. And Dagon, oh, conquered the God of Israel, and said, set up, boy, set up. They set him back up, and they went out, and the next morning they came in, and old Dagon had fallen down again, and this time both of his hands were cut off, and his head was... And those Dagon priests said, I'm telling you, boys, there's something going on in here. Come on. And they said, I guarantee it's that box. That God of Israel is here. Whoa, come on. We need it. And so they started shipping it from one place to another place. Come on, somebody. And then all of a sudden, long story short, they send it out of their camp. And the men of Kirjath-Jearim come to get it, which is in Israel. They come to get it. They bring the ark. I said they bring the ark to Kirjath-Jearim and put it in the house of Abinadab. And the history says it stayed there for 20 years. It had already been absent before then, and absent rather from Israel for 20 years. Now it's in the house of Abinadab in the place of Kirjath-Jearim in Israel. And all of a sudden, the ark has come back to the borders of Israel in that house of Abinadab. But it is Israel that began to lament God. They begin to miss God. They begin to miss his glory. They begin to miss his power. Come on, somebody shout amen. They begin to miss his blessing and his anointing. Oh, Israel began to miss God. Oh, and they begin to lament. Years of this camp is we've been a youth camp and kids camp, brother and sister Torbett, that has said, God, bring back your glory. You can bring back your glory. We want your glory. We want you, God. We want you, Abba, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, to abide in us. Somebody shout amen. I can tell you, God, to hear the cry, a cry like that of lamenting and lamenting for God in his presence and power. It was then that Samuel appears, this last judge and prophet and priest of Israel. Come on, somebody. Oh, from the tribe of Levi. It is Samuel the same who slept in the habitation where Eli the backslidden pastor slept. Come on. It is this young man who, when he was a little boy, heard the voice of the Lord. Somebody shout amen. I said he heard the voice of the Lord God in the night. He woke up and Eli said, go back and lay down the third time, and said, would you hear that voice again, boy? Speak your name. Come to me, John Barley. I'll give you life like you've never known. I'll give you power and anointing. Somebody shout amen. Said Samuel, go back and lay down. And when you hear that voice again, just sit up and say, Lord, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. Whoa, somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, is that same boy now a man? And he appears in Israel. And Israel runs to Samuel. They know he's been close to the glory before. They know he grew up in the tabernacle. They knew he grew up in church. They knew he grew up in that Holy Ghost church, holiness church. Come on, somebody. That conservative church where the Holy Ghost was, where the glory of God abided in the Holy of Holies. They knew Samuel had got a word from God. They said, let's go find Samuel. They said, Samuel, you got to pray for us. You got to help us. Samuel said, all right, I'll help you. Come on. And he told him, you got to repent. Come on, somebody. Woo, you got to repent. 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 You got to repent before God. What a message that runs through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. It's the heart of God for his creation, mankind, in order to be restored and reunited in fellowship and communion with God. Come on, somebody. There must be repentance. Paul said, godly sorrow that worketh repentance, not to be repented of. We've lost the repentant. Come on, somebody. Samuel said, I'll pray for him, but you got to repent.
Woo, shout amen. Samuel said, ain't going to do you no good. I can pray and pray and pray and pray, but if you don't repent, ain't no good. We might as well just all go home and drink iced tea. Come on, somebody shout amen. Woo, and I heard the church say, repentance for sinners, that's for drunkards and drunkards, alcoholics. It's for prostitutes and pimps. It's for drug addicts. That's who it's for. It's for cussers. It's for dippers and smokers and go on and on and on. And poker players. Oh, Lord Jesus. Hey, come on. But listen, church. Listen. America's in the shape she's in tonight in large part because the church has lost her ability to repent. We've lost our heart to repent before God. Come on, somebody. Repentance is for us as well to repent before God. Oh, blessed Jesus. Somebody shout amen. I've got a subject title for this message, and I got to hurry. I just heard the Lord speak it to my heart. And it's simply this, 15 years of truth camp. Come on. And the Lord told me to preach this tonight in this subject title, When It All Comes Together. Come on, somebody. When it all comes together. Woo, hallelujah. Come on, somebody. You know, the old cliche is, it's any good when a plan comes together. But higher than that, isn't it good when the vision of God, come on, somebody, can find a man, can find a woman, and that man of God find others? Isn't it good when it all comes together? Somebody shout hallelujah. Isn't it good tonight that we've all come together? Come on. Hallelujah, it's Friday night. They've got the meal ready. You ain't going nowhere but to bed after a while. Talk to your friends, whatever the case. Isn't it good tonight that we've all come together one more time on the campus of Truth Camp? Hallelujah. Sandalabokotonaramas. Woo! I said, it's good we've all come together. I hear the psalmist say, it's a good thing for brethren to dwell together, oh, in unity. For it's there that the blessing of God is decreed. Oh, y'all better wake up tonight. Hallelujah. You better wake up out of your driving sleepy state. I know what I'm talking about. Driving down that road from Arkansas down 259. Come on, 5.5 hours. Come on and see the white line. And you get hypnotized. And your wife says, open your eyes. Come on, somebody. Wake up out of your hypnotized, sleepy state from driving. I come to tell you tonight, isn't it great? Isn't it good? How great it is for the brothers and the sisters to come together tonight one more time on this campus of holy ground. Shout amen. How good it is for the young people to come together one more time. Oh, shout out. Because it's there that the blessing of God is decreed. It's there that the anointing is so thick. It's like the oil that was poured on Aaron's head, and it was so thick and so much. It wasn't a little bitty bottle like that you've seen in some of these churches. Amen. Ooh, I'm telling you, it was, I don't know, 2 or 3 gallons or something. I don't remember, but I know it was more than a gallon. Ooh, they took that, Moses poured it on Aaron's head. Oh, and it turned the top of his head. It's so good. So it sort of run down, got into his beard, dropped down on his garment. Whoa, hallelujah. Run all the way down to the bottom of his garment and started dripping off of there. Whoa, hallelujah. God said, when the brethren come together and the sisters come together in unity, when it all comes together, he said, not only going to be a blessing, but God said there's going to be some anointing that's going to flow. Shout hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. When it all comes together. And it was Samuel who rose up in that hour. Come on, somebody. Samuel who rose up in that hour. God had been preparing him. We live in a generation tonight that, in a church generation tonight, that's like Israel was. Come on, somebody. They bring the symbols and the similitudes of God into their midst. Come on, Sunday morning and Sunday night. If they have church on Sunday night, you know what I'm talking about. Come on, somebody, help me preach. And Wednesday night, whatever the case, in their so-called youth service, whatever. And they bring the similitude and the symbol of God into the place. They have crosses on the wall, this and that and other. Ooh, and they'll go to prayer. They'll go to hollering. They'll go to shaking and raising their fists. Come on, y'all know I'm preaching right. And they got the music going just right. And everybody's jumping around, hopping around, chest bumping. Come on, somebody. Head bashing, banging, whatever you want to call it. Oh, my Lord Jesus. Come on, boy. I'm telling you, it's full of energy, full of human energy. Come on, somebody. Oh, they're going to sanctuary. Same thing. How are in the main area? Same thing again. Come on, somebody. Somebody says a few little words. Bless me words. Join the bless me club of this first church of the blessing. Come on, somebody. Woo, shout amen. And oh, they'll pray. They'll do what they call praise and shout and carry on real loud. And the devil's sitting out there and he's hearing them hollering. And first of all, he feels a little fear, but then all of a sudden, you know what? I don't feel nothing. Y'all miss that right there. I said the devil, he's sitting down, he may be even in the back standing by the ushers, and he's in that church and they're hollering, screaming and going on. Woo, yeah. Hey, God rocks. Come on, somebody. And they're shaking their fists and everything. But all of them, and the devil, he's back there, you know. He gets a little bit afraid and all of a sudden, because he sees this energy and all going on. And he looks at his boys and says, boys, you know what? I don't feel, you know who in here. They didn't want to say his name. You talking about Jesus? Yes! He ain't in here. Let's have a heyday. Come on, somebody shout amen. And all of a sudden, like Israel, there's no glory there. There's no power, no anointing. They're just making a bunch of noise. Somebody shout, help us, sweet Jesus. I said they're just making a bunch of noise. That's all. No power, no holy power, Holy Ghost power, no anointing to transform lives. Come on, somebody. And the late Brother Clendenin said that it's God and it's power in God that can take a bad man and make him good. Somebody shout hallelujah. It's God when he can take a bad girl and a bad boy and make them good. Hey, man, shout hallelujah, somebody. I'm talking about transformation. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise. But it ain't in there. But my point is, all of a sudden, there's a Samuel that's been being groomed at Truth Camp for 15 years. There's been a Samuel as a group as a whole. And there's been Samuels as individuals that have been groomed, that have been prepared. Hey, come on, somebody. Over these 15 years, there have been Samuels that have fallen in this altar. Come on, somebody. And Samuel's name means, and God heard. Hallelujah. Whoa, come on, somebody. And God heard. I can tell you, there's been Samuels in these altars. We have seen the transformation of their lives. We've seen them go on, amen, and find a husband and find a wife. We've seen them get godly couples put together. We've seen young men grow to be men of God that we wondered about. Some of their counselors in their Truth Camp dorms, like a young man's name whose initials are DB. Amen. God, will he ever make it? Will we ever get him prayed through? And I'll be, Grandma used to say, if he ain't on the platform 15 years later leading Holy Ghost anointed praise and work, shout hallelujah. Don't tell me there ain't no power here. I'm telling you, God's here. Somebody shout amen. God preparing and grooming Samuels to rise and come forward. Shout hallelujah. Eli was a yellow belly. Eli was a weakling. Eli was afraid, but here comes Samuel. Hallelujah. Do you realize that we have sent Samuels from this campus? Hallelujah. Boy Samuels and girl Samuels. That name means, and God heard, and God heard, and God heard. We can have everything under the sun for you at this camp and retreats. Come on. We can have treats for you at retreat, and we have had treats at retreat, but we can do all kinds of things. We can ask skillet. I thought that's what you cooked in. Somebody said, come to the youth meeting tonight. We're having skillet. I said, whoa, mama used to cook out of them. We must be going to eat tonight. Well, I'm preaching better. Y'all shouting. You better come on here. Hallelujah. Get there. Ain't no skillet. There ain't no food. Come on, somebody. Woo! See, we can do that. We can do that. But we'd be wasting God's money. Oh, I'm preaching, man. You're shouting. You better come on here. I said, we can have a lot of treats, a lot of things, a lot of other things. Amen. We can have a swimming hole. And everybody bring your swimming. Oh, Lord Jesus. Just wear a t-shirt over it. God can't see through a t-shirt. Come on, son. Oh, y'all better come on here and help me preach tonight. I'm preaching, man. You're shouting. Oh, Lord. I'm telling you, we'd have every youth across the country here. But I'm telling you right now, no. We don't want those things. We don't have to have those ungodly things. Amen, at this camp. Hallelujah. Nothing wrong with softball. And I'm not saying that if it's in line with God's holiness and everything. But what I am saying is what we got to have in this last day ISIS generation that's marching toward Washington. They said, we've got to have some Samuels that have heard God, and God has heard them. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's some Samuels. Brother Barley coming to the forefront. Hallelujah. The devil thought he had them all, but they're coming to the forefront. They're not engaged in some wild craze called praise fest. No. Amen. These Samuels, they're in prayer. Somebody shout amen. I said, these Samuels come out of prayer. Eli's come out of prayer fest. Ichabod comes out of prayer, praise fest, rather. Ichabod's come out of skillets. Preach or I will. Come on, somebody. Oh, hallelujah. But I'm telling you, Samuels come out of prayer. Samuels come forth saying, and God has heard us. Hallelujah. That's what I want. That's what we want. Young people who God hears. Because when God hears a prayer and they're lamenting, that's when he's going to show up. Somebody shout amen. He hears the prayer. Samuel comes to the forefront and he declares, I'm going to pray for you. Samuel does. But you got to repent. Somebody shout amen. Grooming Samuels in classic Pentecost. Come on, somebody. I said, we are grooming Samuels in classic Pentecost who have not lost the glory, but who know how to keep the glory. Isn't it something that Israel lost the glory? They lost the power down at the first church of the Pentecostal frozen chosen. They lost the power. Come on. Oh, yes, the majority of them had lost the power and the glory. But yet there was one man walking around in the midst of them whom the Bible says, and God did not let one word spoken from him fall to the ground. His power. The first church of the chosen frozen had lost the power, but there was a young man who had not lost the glory. The anointing was upon him. Somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, isn't it something that in this hour when the majority has lost the glory, they've lost the power, they've lost the present, resident presence and manifestation of Christ in their midst. He's not there. He's not among them. But there's some young people, the last last 15 years. Come on, somebody who's walking around, who knows the glory, who knows the power, somebody shout amen. Ooh, hallelujah. Isn't it something? I said, isn't it something that it is in that hour that Samuel comes to the forefront in a time of a great awakening. Israel was ripe. They were at a crisis point. They were ripe for the barley, Brother Dustin Brown. They were ripe for an awakening. We have had at least 6 spiritual awakenings in our American history. Are you hearing? And in church history, at least 3 or 4 of them, I personally bill them as great awakenings, as do other church and other historians, great awakenings. And every time a great awakening came, it was ripe. Where? In the church. Amen. It was ripe because the church had lost the power. It was a crisis point where it could go either direction. But God had saw to it that there were some young people who had been groomed at Truth Camp. They'd been prepared and anointed. Oh, hallelujah. Because God's going to have some folks. Amen. God's going to bring an awakening. He's going to impart it into our spirits. It's going to happen in this earth. Hey, I don't know how widespread in America, but I'm believing the time is right. And the time is ripe in the church. Amen. God's got some Samuel. The anointing's gone for the most part, but there's some Samuels walking around who knows what it is to have the anointing poured upon them, walking around who have a word of God in their belly. Shall a man that's not afraid to say it, thus saith the Lord, repent, repent, lest you all likewise perish.
That have the anointing, great awakenings have always come in great peril. Are you hearing me tonight? And Paul said in the last days, what did he say? Perilous times shall come. Come on. Oh, how many believe? I believe he saw down through the telescopic lens of prophecy, and he saw America today. Come on. And he saw the church. Perilous times, dangerous times shall come. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. But then I heard God say, see, it's a time of danger, and we need to be aware of it. And a lot of folks in the church are going that direction and losing out with God. Pastor Goodwin, but I'm telling you tonight, the Lord promised, and he's been doing it ever since the cross and Pentecost, amen, ever since Pentecost, and he said, in the last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Come on, somebody, though it's a perilous time, though it's dangerous times, I'm telling you, God says, my spirit has come to bring an awakening in those who have been prepared and groomed. Somebody shout hallelujah, and they're going to come to the forefront, and they're going to say it, they're going to declare it. Repent, 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 for repentance always precedes revival and a great awakening. Somebody shout hallelujah. Right before the Revolutionary War, Jonathan Edwards came out of the prayer room with a message: sinners in the hands of an angry God. We're more worried about having seeker-friendly churches and not hurting anybody's feelings. But Jonathan Edwards, in the time right before the Revolutionary War, when 500 million was the population of America, and 300,000 of those were known alcoholics in America, and the church in America was dead. Preachers declared no conversions, nobody being born again. Come on, somebody. And for the first time in American history, which hadn't been long at that time, but for the first time, they said, historians said, American women were afraid to go out of their houses for fear of being assaulted. Come on, somebody. But then came a Samuel. Then came a Jonathan Edwards, who read his message and sinners in the hands of an angry God, clinically blind.
front of his face and just read it line by line, and the glory and the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost would fall because he had been in the prayer room. Somebody shout, oh, and folks would go to shaking and trembling under the power and running to the altar and repenting. Somebody shout hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Oh, Samuel comes to the forefront. Repent, repent, he says. And then they repent and they say, pray for us. They have come to Mizpah. And at Mizpah, they've come there. And the enemy hears they've gathered together. Whew, come on, somebody. And the Philistines come up. Ooh, and they said, pray for us, Samuel. Samuel takes a lamb. Come on, somebody. Cuts his throat, sheds his blood, and offers him up for a burnt sacrifice. They had repented, and now comes the burnt sacrifice and the blood. Oh, somebody. Hey, there is a stream that flow river that flows from Emmanuel's veins, where sinners plunge beneath its flood, lose all their guilty stains. Somebody shout the blood. When there's repentance, the blood's going to come. When there's repentance, at the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross will be made effective again in this nation. Somebody shout hallelujah, and the Holy Ghost will come where the blood is, where the cross is, where the sacrifice is. Hallelujah. Somebody shout amen. Whoa, hallelujah. And then he offered it up. And the Philistines were coming, and Samuel prayed. And when he did, God spoke as thunder out of heaven. Ooh. Come on. Hey. And the enemy heard God. Whoosh! There's a great thunder. And the Bible said it discomforted them. It made them uncomfortable. Hallelujah. When God comes to a people, when God comes to a nation, when God comes to a church, when God comes to a youth group, he's going to thunder upon us when there's been repentance and the cross of Christ and his blood and his sacrifice is made known. A reality again. God then is going to come and it's going to thunder. Somebody shout hallelujah. Give God a hand clap of praise. Oh, hallelujah. And it's going to discomfort the adversary. Ooh, shout amen, somebody. Hallelujah. And so Samuel prays. The enemy's discomforted and Israel races to destroy them. And he has just offered the lamb, and I'm trying to hurry. He's just offered the lamb and the blood. Amen. The enemy's been discomforted. About that time he put his rock down. He said, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Come on, somebody. Israel races to the destruction of the adversary. Come on, church, hallelujah. And it says they chase them and whip them, beat them, till they come up under Bethkar. Bethkar means the house of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Up under the house, the gathering together of the Lamb is where the enemy met his doom. Somebody shout amen. Hallelujah. Samuel prayed. Samuel offered sacrifice, such as our Samuels of today are going to do. And God is going to give the enemy into our hands. And God is going to rend the heavens, the prophet said. And he's going to come down upon us. Hallelujah. And folks' hard hearts and hard spirits are going to melt like wax. Come on, somebody. In the presence of God, would somebody shout yes? Hallelujah. And the enemy will be overcome. And underneath the household of the Lamb, Somebody lift your hand. Are you of the household of the Lamb? Lift your hand. Are you the household of the Lamb? Oh, from Exodus all the way to Samuel, the household of the Lamb. The household of the Lamb here is reinstituted. Come on, somebody. You can't leave the Lamb out of the house. Come on, God will leave you in Egypt. Somebody shout amen. God will leave you in the hands of the Philistines with the glory gone. But when we reinstitute the house of the Lamb and we call Samuels up in truth camp, somebody shout hallelujah, who know how to pray, who know how to offer sacrifice, the blood's going to come, the anointing's going to come, salvation's going to come, new birth's going to come. Shout hallelujah, give the Lord a hand of praise. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory be to God. And then he says, this rock, God has helped us hitherto to this point. God has helped us. Well, what about beyond here? Number one, go forward into the future. We will, with bold faith. Somebody shout amen. Bold faith, Samuels. Bold faith, Samuels. Bold faith, you household of the Lamb. Do we not see that? We've got everything else in the household, but we don't have the Lamb. Is anybody with me tonight? We need an awakening. We need an awakening. We need an awakening. Jonathan Edwards is gone. Charles Finney is gone. D.L. Moody's gone. Come on, somebody. They're all gone. But I'm convinced sitting in this congregation tonight are some spearheads, some Samuels. Come on, some Moody's and some Finney's. I believe in this crowd tonight are some William Booths and some Catharines. I believe there's some William Booths and some Catharines here. You heard of them, ain't you? Amen. They're the ones that founded the Salvation Army when it was the Salvation _ Army. Come on, somebody. William Booth was in London, England, and he was a part of the upper crust church. And then William Booth started witnessing on the streets and preaching this gospel of Christ on the streets, and folks started getting saved out of the guttermost. People started coming to Christ from various stained and soiled backgrounds, as those in the upper crust church would say. Oh Lord Jesus, help me. And they got to where they didn't like William Booth, and they wouldn't let him come to their churches. Let alone would they let him preach in their pulpits, but he just kept preaching outside. And they said, oh, that's not right. But he kept preaching. Hallelujah. I said he kept preaching anyhow. They wouldn't let him come in. And folks started getting saved. Dustin Brown out of the guttermost coming to Christ. And they wouldn't let him preach. They wouldn't let him hold a revival in their churches. Come on, somebody. Oh, my God. My God. And William Booth set up a tent in a graveyard on the north side of London, England. He set up a tent in a graveyard. Hallelujah. And started preaching and preaching. And folks started getting saved and born again. Nobody wanted these folks in their church, so he just discipled him himself. Somebody shout hallelujah. And the term Salvation Army was birthed because they begin to go out and tell others and bring people to Christ, and a great awakening. Somebody shout hallelujah. Happened. Great God Almighty. Oh, hallelujah. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. What about from here forward? We're going to go forward in bold faith. Somebody shout amen. But what about ISIS? What about ISIS? Amen. I know they're cutting Christians' heads off and everything, but I read in this Bible where the Christian church, the Lord said in Revelation, they overcame the devil. Come on, somebody. By the word of their testimony. Amen. By the what? not by the what. We see him in Genesis. We see him in Exodus. We see him in Samuel. And then in Revelation, it said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and because they loved not their own life unto the death. And a great awakening came. Hallelujah. They went forth in bold faith. What's next from here? We launch everything from in our churches, in our camp, our retreats, from the touchstone, from the rock. Ebenezer means stone of our help. Come on, somebody shout amen. All through the Bible, you see the stone. Shout amen. What's next? We launch it from the rock and with the rock. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. The rock keeps appearing everywhere. And David, in Exodus, the water runs out of the rock. Somebody shout hallelujah. Lift your hand and shout, it's in the rock. Come on, shout, it's in the rock. Hallelujah. 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 Be very sure your anchor holds and grips that solid rock. This rock is Jesus. He's the one. This rock is Jesus. He's the only one. Hallelujah. Sandarabokatarabasaya. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Thank you, brother. Where do we go from here? Where did Samuel go? He led him repentance back to the household of the Lamb. Then the Bible says in the end of that chapter that he continued to judge Israel for years on a circuit. He started at Bethel, which is the house of God. Somebody shouted, man. And he judged and he declared. Bethel was associated with the rock when Jacob rested his head upon it. Then he went from Bethel on a circuit, and he went to Gilgal, and he judged from there. Gilgal is the place of the circle of the stones of the rock, the circle representing God's unending power to fulfill every word of his word. Shout amen. And then he went from there down to Come on, somebody. I said he went from there to Mizpah. Watch it, on a circuit. Mizpah means watchtower. Oh, hallelujah. Of course, a rock associated with the watchtower. Oh, shout amen. I'm standing on the rock. Shout hallelujah, the rock of ages. Oh, come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I'm a watchman. Hallelujah. And then the Bible said he would wind back up at Ramah, which was his home from which he would launch his ministry. A priest, or rather a prophet. Amen. And judge. And Ramah means the height. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody shout amen. I'm telling you, God's got some Samuels. They're going to judge at Bethel, judge at Gilgal. They're going to judge, come on, at Mizpah. Shout hallelujah. And they're going to stand on the heights of Ramah. Shout hallelujah. And lift up the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ. Hey, shout hallelujah, somebody. Whoa, I don't believe it's impossible. You see, the devil is threatened through ISIS to fly the Islamic black flag over the White House. Come on, before they're through. I think they ought to be, Brother Dustin Brown, a bunch of Samuels in this true retreat tonight that says, ISIS, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. You think you're going to fly a Muslim flag? We're going to fly the blood sing banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come hell or high water, shout hallelujah. We're going to chase the enemy until he's consumed. Somebody shout hallelujah. And an awakening sweeps through our midst. I'm through. God said, it's a great thing when we all, when it all comes together. 15 years, and we come together in unity around the rock. Hallelujah. How blessed it is for us to come together tonight. It's a great thing. And God said, when it all comes together, you get what we've got for 15 years. Pastor Donnie Goodwin. The presence of God. We take it for granted. Oh God, let not your glory ever depart from this camp. The longevity of it is the glory of God. When we have all passed on, Lord, if you tarry your coming, I don't believe you will, but we've all passed on, the longevity of this camp would be your glory. Take not thy Holy Spirit from us. We will be Samuels, and we will come together with you, Lord, and we will produce an awakening that will produce a shaking. Hallelujah. How many is ready tonight? Lift your hand. How many is ready to come together like we've never come before? Hallelujah. One man called a caliphate somewhere in the Middle East, we're told, could get up in a Muslim mosque and declare as a caliphate, declare a worldwide coming together of Muslims. And they come from America and Britain. Why not tonight at almost the 10 o'clock hour, I think? Why not tonight? Can we not stand up, lift our hands, and say thank God for 15 years? But God has helped us hitherto. But from here, the devil's had it. Somebody shout amen, sure enough. Would you stand and lift your hands all over this building? We've come together tonight. Hallelujah, we've come together tonight. Lift your hands, everybody. I know you're tired. Oh, hallelujah. We're running out of time. The grains of sand in the hourglass clock of God's prophecy are down to its last few grains. Oh, and the church, for the most part, is not ready. We're not coming together to produce the power to produce Christ. Because I can tell you what to stop ISIS. It's the glory of God. Somebody shout amen. Hallelujah. Oh, if you're here tonight, you say, I'm going to come together to that altar and spend some time with my brothers and sisters, ladies on this side, the men on this side. But we're going to come together essentially. Amen. Because Jesus said that when we come together, there is something that takes place. Do you realize we could come together on this altar tonight and launch from the rock of Christ an awakening, hallelujah, that will send forth waves across this land? Do you realize that we could do that tonight? And if you think and if you believe God can do that, I want you to come on right now. Get out of your pews and come around this altar. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come and stand and lift your hands at this truth retreat. Come on, ladies. Come on, gentlemen. Hallelujah. God's looking for Samuels. God's looking for some Jonathan Edwards. God's looking for folks. Amen. God's looking for folks who are hungry for him. God's looking for folks who, like David, are after God's heart. Amen. And it's God's heart. In God's heart is an awakening for this nation. In God's heart is an awakening for your church, for your youth ministries. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, hallelujah. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Hitherto hath the Lord helped the church in America. What do we got to do? We got to come back to the touchstone. We got to come back to that rock. Shout hallelujah. We got to repent. Raise up some Samuels. Come on, lift your hands and pray through tonight. They tell me that in some of the early great awakenings of America, when it was troubled times and difficult times in the world, in society, and in the church, that when the awakening finally came and God opened up the heaven, hallelujah, and all of heaven came down at some of the camp meetings. Come on, somebody, with some of these great men of God who sought the Lord, that before they ever knew the doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that grown men and women would quake and shake under the power and fall out of the spirit. They didn't know what it was, Brother Torbett. They called it going into a trance. Amen. There were those, some of them, who went to speaking in tongues. And they didn't have the full light on the baptism yet. Come on, somebody. Just think about what's going to happen that when this great awakening that's in the heart of God, that's starting tonight. Amen. It's transferred to your heart and it's launched. Hallelujah. From your churches, from your youth groups. Amen. Come back to the rock. There's an awakening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, folks. Call on God. He's not a religion, he's a reality. I said he's not a religion, he's a reality. Hallelujah. In Truth Retreat 2014, we're moving toward a great awakening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Truth Camp 2014, we're coming together. We're coming together like the Bible says. If two or three of you come together in my name, oh, Shandaramakatalamaha. I'll be in your midst. If any two of you agree as touching in any one thing you shall ask of my Father, that you shall ask shall be done of my Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. And he said, I will give unto you the keys of heaven, that whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Amen. The rock said, whatever you loose in earth shall be loosed in heaven. Come on, church. Come on, church. We're headed to a great awakening. The authority and the power. Woo. Hallelujah. 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 I seen a picture of one young junior high student on National Prayer Day at the Pole. One junior high student by himself, kneeling down at the flagpole praying for his school. Come on, I'm telling you, America is in for an awakening. Samuels are coming back to the forefront, because I believe churches, I believe people are lamenting for God. I believe people are saying, God, They're saying, God, we need you. God, we don't want to go without you. God, we can't make it without you. Come to my house. Turn my house into the Lamb's house. Turn my household into the Lamb's household. Come on. My household is a household of the Lamb. And the enemy will be defeated under the household of the Lamb. The enemy will be defeated under Bethkar. I said the enemy will be defeated under Bethkar, the house of the Lamb. Shandarabakaya. The house of the sacrifice. The house of the cross of Christ. Hallelujah. The house of Pentecost. The house of the rock. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on, church. God's got a remnant, boys. God's got a remnant, men. God's got a remnant. God's got a Goshen. God's got a Goshen full of people. Hallelujah. God's got a Goshen in this end time hour. Hallelujah. Full of people, full of households who are claiming the Lamb's sacrifice. Come on, somebody. Shandalalalalabakataba. And when we go out of here, we're going out of here in victory. We're going out of here in power. We're going out of here in anointing. And when we go out of here, we're not going to leave anything behind of our loved ones, that is. We're taking our boys with us. Pastor Donnie Goodwin, we're taking our boys. We're taking our girls. We're taking our children. We're taking our grandchildren. The household of the Lamb. When we get out of here, we're taking it all with us. Oh, I'm talking about a powerful house. I'm talking about a powerful house. I'm talking about Bethkar. I'm talking about the house of the Lamb. Come on, young ladies. Come on, girls. Come on, young ladies. Pour your heart out to God. Hallelujah. Raise up a Bethkar. Raise up a Bethkar where you live. Raise up a Bethkar. Raise up a household of the Lamb. That's going to put every enemy under his foot. Hallelujah. It's going to put every enemy under his feet. Hallelujah. The household of the Lamb. Come on, girl. Raise up a Bethkar. Raise up a Bethkar. Hallelujah. He is your Ebenezer. He is your rock of help. You can raise up a Bethkar on the rock, on the Lamb. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You can do it. You can raise up a Bethkar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God send an awakening. God send an awakening. We want your heart. We want your will to be done in this earth as it is in heaven. The devil, Lord, is marching through our world. God, you promise that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will lift up a standard against it. Hallelujah. And where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. Where the effects of wickedness and sin abound, grace. William Booth proved it. Catherine Booth proved it, his wife. Where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. Shandarabakatalama shandarabakaya. Oh, my God, my
God. Have your way, Holy Ghost. Have your way, Holy Ghost. Have your way, Holy Ghost. Raise up a best car. Hallelujah. Come on, boys. When it all comes together, when it all comes together, my prayers with God's power, my prayers with God's power and the blood and the sacrifice, hallelujah, and the repentance, when it all comes together, God's gonna show up. The devil's gonna be defeated. When it all comes together, you get 15 years of Pentecostal youth camp. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for keeping me. Thank you for getting me here, Jesus. The devil said I wouldn't make it. The devil said I'd preach my last message to youth at youth camp 7 years ago. But here I am tonight by your grace, God, by your keeping power. 15 years, dear God, of Holy Ghost power. Because of the rock, our stone of help, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Hitherto, Lord, you have helped us. Oh, yes, he will. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, my God, we lament. We want you, God. We want you, God. We want you, Holy Ghost. We refuse to quench your spirit. We refuse to quench your spirit. Oh, God. Yes, hallelujah. Oh, the mantle of your glory, the mantle of your power, the anointing of the Holy Ghost that produces men of God, that produces William Booth. Come on, everybody. God will do nothing except my prayer. Hallelujah. The greatest thing we can do is return to the altar. The Bible said Samuel built an altar and he judged Israel on a circuit. Hallelujah. From Bethel to Gilgal to Mizpah and then to Ramah to the height because he built an altar. The height of an awakening. I said the height of a spirit's awakening will transform every place it comes.